This morning, my guest is Elizabeth Shepley, who has served over 40 years as a choral conductor, music teacher, and artistic director in schools, community programs, and churches, including locally, the Northfield Youth Choirs and Bethel Lutheran Church. She has worked with youth in professional opera performances at the Minnesota Opera Company and youth community theater productions, including Northfield Arts Guild and Purple Door musicals. Currently, Newsies Junior, which has performances the next 2 weekends. Get your tickets! She has enjoyed leading conferences and conducting choirs across the United States, Canada, and Europe. There's much to delve into here, so let's get to it and talk with Elizabeth Shepley. Well, welcome, Elizabeth, on this early New Year's Day. The streets are empty.
Yeah.
There's no cars out, and yet you came out to join me here live in the KYN studio.
Happy New Year to you, Pauline.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
So Liz, as I mentioned in the intro, is musical director for Newsies Junior, which is coming up here in the next couple weekends. And so I thought it was timely to have her on so we could talk about that. But before we do, Liz, why don't you take us through kind of your genesis as a musician?
Oh, it's fun to think back on it, Pauline. I grew up in Roseville in a home that was filled with music. My parents appreciated all sorts of music and wanted the four of us to enjoy it as well, and to be musically literate. My three older brothers took piano lessons downtown Minneapolis at McPhail.
Nice.
And would drag me, three-year-old me, along with them. And I begged for lessons.
Oh, nice.
And so their teacher, Mrs. Lund, said she'd take me on as an experiment. And that's when I started my professional music training. You started at three.
Wow.
As a young girl growing up in a farm in Cosmos, my mom became the church organist at 14, 15, something like that. And when she graduated from business school in Minneapolis, she was hired by my grandpa to work in the family lumber yard, where she met my dad. My dad took her on dates to church choir rehearsal at Central Lutheran Church. So that turned out to be a pretty winning idea.
Wow.
Yeah. And Dad was in dental school. And when there at the University of Minnesota, he thought it would be fun to start a dental school choir.
Why not?
Of course.
Right.
I mean, yeah. So that was fun. He did the music of the era. Well, they did some Berlin and Crosby and Sinatra, and I'm pretty sure that they were a big hit at the dental school functions.
Yes.
But it was fun. And then at home, he played the guitar, and we'd sit around, my three older brothers and I, and improvise to the stuff that he loved. He loved Johnny Cash and Roger Miller, and so it would be Green Green Grass of Home and House of the Rising Sun, 500 Miles, stuff like that.
Wow.
And I love doing that.
I bet.
With my dad. My choral career began as a five-year-old member of the Cherub Choir at Central Lutheran Church.
I love the name.
Mm-hmm. Yep. We had the white surpluses with the giant red bows. We looked like we were gift wrapped. It was so much fun. There's a quote in my office at home from Zoltan Kodaly. My office is filled with quotes of varying sorts, and anyone who's worked with me knows that I love quotes of varying sorts.
Can you just say them when they're appropriately needed?
In
social
situations? The ideas of them.
Okay.
I can.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've always wanted to be able to do that.
I know.
To be able to spout
exactly
live from a poem.
I'll spout this particular one.
Oh, please
because
do.
I've said it hundreds of times. But often, Zoltan Kodaly, composer, educator, said, often a single experience will open the young soul to music for a whole lifetime.
Mm.
And it's something I think teachers who work with children, youth, adults want to keep in mind. And I try to. And I'm not certain that this kindergarten experience did exactly that, but it was a great first experience.
Oh, good.
And it was a place filled with joy and laughter. There, in my five-year-old recollection of it, there were hundreds of us there, of course. And he, Mr. Cherwin, had such a great attitude and brought so much fun to that rehearsal. You would tell us to get all the pots and pans out of our kitchens and beat on them to wake our parents up. So we beat the church service on time. I just thought he was so funny. And those early teachers can be so important.
Yes.
That when I was 10 years old, sort of that 10 to 16-year-old space in time, I did experience what certainly would open my soul to music for a whole lifetime. My mom had read in the newspaper that the extraordinary conductor Edith Norberg, who was known for her work with adult, professional, amateur, and church choirs, was going to start a community children's choir. And her goal was to have an American children's choir that could rival those in the UK, Austria, and other places in Europe. So I was lucky enough to sing with Mrs. Norberg for several formative years.
That's a big task, because in Europe you have a tradition of it. So you have all these kids coming up into it.
Centuries of tradition.
Yes.
Exactly. Lots of boy choirs.
Yep.
Right. Yep. And that's changing.
Good.
But, I mean, there are still great boy choirs, but there are lots of fabulous girl choirs and mixed choirs.
Yeah.
So we got to do some really spectacular things. We competed in an Ice Steadfoot in Wales twice. We performed with the Minnesota Orchestra a few times. And I'm especially fond of performance under Henry Charles Smith. Who I thought was the nicest guy I'd ever met, kindest man. We did a Porgy and Bess concert with him. We recorded a Christmas album with Howard Viken. Do you remember that name?
I don't remember that name.
He was a 40-year celebrity radio host.
Oh, okay.
For WCCO.
Nice.
With a great, big personality. And so we recorded a Christmas album with him. That was fun. We performed and recorded with Dave Brubeck, the jazz artist.
Yeah. Wow.
And just, I mean, all these things that come flooding back. Some of us did commercial work. We did the Dairy Queen Scrumptilicious commercial.
Oh, fun.
Do you remember that one?
Oh, sure. I can't remember how it goes, but
I'll sing it for you
afterwards.
Yes. See if I can remember. Oh, it's a very merry, extraordinary, scrumptilicious day.
Yeah, that kind of
goes on like
that. Nice.
Yeah, we recorded the Eighth Floor Dayton's display when they used children's voices, and it was an around the world theme. So we sang in, I don't know, 16 different languages.
Like
down
in so Christmas,
cool.
Christmas, in that
Christmas at Dayton's on the Eighth Floor.
Yes, I remember going there.
I miss those days. Yeah, we used to go down there in groups. We would take on every day of December, as far as I can recall, and we would carol. We'd wear these Tyrolean outfits with these feather caps and lederhosen. But we would sing all up and down the floors downtown Dayton's. I loved doing that. All the Christmas, people would be waiting for the elevator. It would open. We'd all be in there singing. Wait for the next one. And, it was fun. But the Danes were great to us, and they'd have us out to their house afterwards and gave us chocolate. And we were professional. We got paid like $2 a night.
Good.
Loved it. So, anyway.
What an extraordinary experience to have as a kid.
Oh, my
gosh.
So
this lit the fire completely for you.
Oh, absolutely. We got to sing for royalty. That beautiful Princess Margaret and that handsome Lord Snowden and King Olaf. And so Danny Kaye.
Wow.
I got to hold his hand.
Oh, nice.
Danny Kaye, I got to, I had to lead him to the stage.
And this was from what age to what age?
This is like 10 to 16.
Oh, so
and then when we
many years.
Some of us wanted to keep singing, and we were getting too old for that choir because that was kind of the age, 10 to 16. And one of us knew Janice Kimes, who is working as a volunteer choir director at Hamlin. Methodist Church, Hamline University.
Okay, yep.
Not the one downtown, but at St. Paul on the campus. And she was willing to come and conduct about 16 of us. And that became Belcanto Voices, and that lived on for a while. And she invited me back to start her preparatory choir. And there's somebody who grew up in the youth choirs here whose mom was in that choir. Yeah. That's kind of a cool story. But anyway, what I remember most vividly about that time, the 10 to 16-year-old time, in addition to just the joy, the soul-opening part of singing with peers, besides how wonderful it felt to sing and to play and to explore and to create with the buddies in that group, are the incredible memories in a piece of music where you're transported,
yes,
to somewhere else.
Yes.
And there's this sound that has synergy. You couldn't do that yourself. And you can hear overtones and you get chills. And that is a sound I'll always live with and I try to reproduce.
Yes.
With children and as I'm singing with others myself, it's just, it's something I wish everyone could experience.
That's the goal,
kind of the goal.
To get to that place, the zone or
that,
however
right.
you want to define it.
Exactly.
And however it is for you.
I mean, right.
It might be a different experience for you than for me, but I leave my body, I feel, when I'm in that zone.
Yes.
And can
absolutely.
Observe what's going on.
I can see it on the faces of children
yes.
when that happens
oh,
to them.
Lovely.
And they're engaged and they light up and they have a smile about them. That's, I can say you felt that, didn't you? Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That's impactful.
Well, Liz, you know, I want to keep talking about all the details, but we kind of have to jump ahead here to your professional life and how you decided to become a conductor and director and
yep.
do all the things that you do.
Yeah. Well, I studied voice in high school, and I took my instructor's advice to study with her instructor and went to Concordia Moorhead. And I had a great time in
nice.
College.
Good.
Yep.
Good. What's behind that
yeah,
laugh?
No,
if we had more time, I'd ask.
I sang in, was a section leader of the choir, performed in a daily church band.
Fun.
Participated in musical theater there. I love that. An opera workshop. And I played on the golf team. But that is also where I stepped into a classroom for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
I did a student teaching experience. And that experience was wonderful.
Oh, good.
And it was on that first day when I observed these teachers and then I had my opportunity that I realized, oh, I really dig this.
This is where I fit.
Like,
this is where I fit.
These are my people.
Yes.
This is my place.
Nice.
This is where I want to be.
I ought to have that
so I graduated
clear.
With a degree in, at that time, this was the last year I think they offered it, but was a K-12 band choir orchestra.
Oh, okay.
Education degree. So, I mean, I think it's pretty crazy. But in small towns, they needed people who could do
all that.
Do all
right,
of it.
Right.
And to the great fortune of anybody who would have been an instrumental student of mine, I never did that. I stuck just to choral, vocal, and classroom music.
Do you play an instrument?
Well, I did have to learn Twinkle Twinkle on everything.
Okay,
for
got
that
it.
Degree.
That's how they do it, all right.
But, and piano.
Okay.
And I use piano for the purpose of studying the music.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, teaching
I mean, I started as a teeny tiny, but my brothers were fabulous pianists. I'm functional.
Got it.
Yeah.
Good enough to do what you need to do for
exactly.
what you're doing.
It just serves my purpose.
Perfect.
Beautifully.
Yeah, perfect.
Exactly. My first teaching job was as a elementary music specialist in Elk River. And around that time, Janice Kimes, Belcanto Voices, who is also a glorious singer herself, was working at the Minnesota Opera Company. And she invited me I was working with her preparatory choir.
Mm-hmm.
And I would also work with the children that were needed in opera performances, in the choruses. So I enjoyed doing that at the time. And I attended a church service at House of Hope, and they were starting a new choir school there. And I found out who that director they hired was and gave him a call and said, I'm a recent graduate. Can I volunteer? Do you need help? I'll do anything. And he took me up on the offer. So I started at House of Hope Presbyterian Church in the choir school program and took over in a couple of years, as it turned out, as a director. And that was an incredible ride. So I love to talk about that.
Man, you've had so many great experiences.
I had fabulous ones. I feel like I hit the jackpot. Yep.
It does sound like it. Yep. You had such great mentors.
Yes.
And all these early experiences were so positive.
Right.
And wow, what a gift.
Exactly.
And I love this mix of that you direct kids' choirs, but you also musical direct musical theater. I don't know how many cross over into that whole theater realm, but how fun.
Exactly, yeah. I had friends at or children whose parents at the choir school said that there was an opening at Mounts Park Academy, so I took that elementary music position, which was the most fabulous music teaching position in the state, and in my opinion, I don't know, in the world, probably.
There you go.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Fabulous, again, fabulous people to work for and with, and great children. So I was doing all those things at one time, and met my husband. He was in med school. He was crazy busy, and so I could just work.
And he didn't invite you to any dates at the church at the church choir.
We had no dates, no dates to the church choir. However, he would come and schlep instruments in those early days. I was the Orff Ensemble. When I went to House of Hope, they had a closet full of beautiful, brand new Chromatic Studio 49, top of the line Orff instruments. And I had grown up playing Orff instruments. Edith Norwood studied at the Orff Schoenberg Academy overseas in Austria, Salzburg, and I had just finished my certification, so I knew what to do with them. Somebody had donated them, didn't know what to do with them,
right.
But had heard that they were great for children. So anyway, he slept those instruments when we used them.
Oh, and I understand that too, because I am a drum tech for my husband very much, very often, and it's usually because I want to get out of the bar or theater quicker.
Yeah. might have had something to do with
it. Up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you get this job at the Academy, and were you directing musical directing plays? Is that when you kind of started doing more of that, or was this later?
At the choir school?
Yeah.
At the choir school, it was such a unique program because it was extended. There were graded choirs, mm-hmm. and then there were classes. We had ear training. We had music theory. They all stayed for dinner. It was an after-school program, and the parents provided dinner on Wednesdays. But there were instrumental ensembles eventually, and we had voice lessons, and there was an old piano, beautiful grand piano. But we took it apart and with the kids and learned how it all worked and built it up again. Things like that, handbells, folk dancing, and we did musical theater there. I didn't, but this fabulous group of adults and professionals and volunteers. One of my favorite things was a guest artist series. And a friend of mine from Minnesota Opera, the operating director at the time, Ed Korn, would bring in fantastic soloists who were either in a production or they came in from the Met. The Met was traveling, and he was there before he came to Minnesota. And so we had all these fabulous people and composers, Libby Larson and Steve Paulus.
Absolutely
and
amazing.
They would talk to the children. I remember Libby Larson saying that she always thought she had a song in her head. She thought everyone did. I always had a melody. I didn't know that was unusual. And the kids are saying, well, me too.
Me too, right?
I'm thinking of tunes all the time. So that was a unique program, and they got to do a number of really cool things. concerts and things. We hosted a choir from Ukraine and the Tapiola Children's Choir. We sang with them from Finland and a choir from Israel. In festivals, we toured. So they were over in Scandinavia and sang with Doreen Rao, who's a phenomenal.
Wow.
Anyway, on and on.
No
fabulous
kidding.
Experiences. On and on. I loved it. Not unlike the experiences that we've had here in Northfield.
Right. Yeah. There's so many great experiences for kids who lives in this community.
That program just celebrated 40, by the way, this last week, and 40 years. And it's under the brilliant direction of a former student who grew up in the program.
Aha, yep. Nice. Are you going to give that name?
Sophia Ardalan.
Nice.
She's brilliantly talented and she sings and plays a violin and a great conductor.
Run across so many of these brilliantly talented people. It's amazing.
Mm.
And
I've been surrounded by them.
I think that the composer for this, writer of this song, "O Colored Earth," is brilliant because I love this. So let's dig into... we'll talk a little bit more about your conducting after this, but let's set up this first song, "O Colored Earth." And so why don't you tell me a little bit about who is singing this, where it was recorded. Just kind of set it up for us.
"O Colored Earth" was written by Steve Heitzig. We had just finished singing a Czech piece when he was a composer in residence at St. Thomas. He asked us to do the a part of a song cycle. I never saw another butterfly. So we met him. He was a new friend, and he walked into rehearsal one night with this piece and said, "What do you think?" And we listened to it and loved it, and he dedicated it to us. "O Colored Earth," he describes, as a simple song for peace and justice. And I've taught "O Colored Earth" all over the United States with other groups, with the Northfield Youth Choirs, and it resonates with children. They often say it's one of their very favorite pieces.
It resonates with me. I love this piece. I love the different
Thank
sections.
You.
I love the message of thousands of lives. Each one is sacred. And it's performed so well. So let's see. Do you have any challenges? I mean, you've done this song so many times, but in the beginning, were there any challenges?
Well, it's a tough piece to keep in tune, but it's such colorful language, and there's so many things we can do with the text. And the children and the youth love to participate in that. What
right.
do you think this means, and how do you think it would be an effective way to sing this? So a lot of what you hear are suggestions that the children have made.
And I love
disappear, the word disappear, where they disappear, literally. Those
I love
kinds
that you're
of things.
Open to getting suggestions from
your
kids.
Oh, it's what I do. I mean,
awesome.
It's a very gratifying way to run a rehearsal.
Well, let's take a listen to "O Colored Earth," sung by the 1993 House of Hope Presbyterian Church Children's Choir and conducted by my guest today, Liz Shepley.
Blue and green.
This is Pauline Jennings, and you're listening to Musician Talk. You just heard Oh Colored Earth, a song by the 1993 House of Hope Presbyterian Church Children's Choir, and conducted by my guest today, Liz Shepley. I love that. I was thinking that it was produced. I mean, it sounded produced, and I was thinking, oh my God, the sound in that church is amazing. But you said you guys recorded it down in NPR?
That's right. It was the first recording of it, and we were in studio, and Zeitgeist, a band, was the instrumentalist.
I love the accompaniment. Oh, my. It's so unusual to have that with the choir, that kind of a backup.
It's typically done with piano accompaniment.
Okay.
But he also has a version now with strings, and this piece continues to evolve.
I love this version. I love the bells and the acoustic guitar with the choir. I really love it. And the delicate unison that you have, the blend in the beginning is, I can't believe you're getting it from kids. And the dynamics,
they're
too.
They're capable of being so musical.
Who
said that people are more musical under 15 than over? You want to capture
it.
Even those babies can be sensitive and musically.
I just love everything about it. The melody is just beautiful.
You.
And you did such a great, wonderful job with those kids.
Thank
and
you,
it's
Pauline.
Unexpected, too. You feel like there's these parts in there that are going to keep building. And then instead, it just goes, and it gets quiet and reflective. And it's like, oh, that was cool. That gave me chills. Mm-hmm. So very, very, very lovely.
Thank you
for that.
Thank you.
I want to talk a little bit about Newsies Junior. And before we talk about that, I was wondering if there is difference between teaching a song to a choir of kids for performance as a choir and teaching it to the ensemble, a kids' ensemble of a musical theater production.
Yeah, that's a good question. I approach musical theater pretty similarly to the way that I'll approach a choir. It's, again, when we talked about having input from the kids, it's a very collaborative effort. But we warm up voices, we address breathing and consonants and beat and singing in tune and all of those kinds of things. The timeline's different, of course, the obvious kinds of things they need to remember, wonderfully demanding dance moves.
Right.
And
be able to sing while you do those.
And to know where they're moving.
Yep.
To stand and sing is one thing. And then to incorporate all of the other elements is something different. To learn even with an intimate kind of a setting, as we have in our theater, to project and to accentuate consonants so that grandpa in the back row can hear
Absolutely.
And understand, and we don't drop lines and all of those kinds of things.
I think that of a big difference is that you don't have you're not all standing next to each other, so blend might be more difficult.
Right.
Kind of is up to the, I suppose there's some collaboration there, but kind of up to the director's blocking as to where those kids are going to be, and you just have to deal with that.
Right.
Right.
And there are some who would say that their strength is dancing. There are some who say they love acting. Not everybody comes from a choral background.
Sure, right.
And we have a wide variety of ages. So some are new to the whole idea of singing together as a group. Purple Door, that is producing Newsies Junior, is an educational program. And Rachel Hyder and Jana Hirsch, my colleagues, are fabulous educators.
Yes,
and
they
are. And that's the overriding portion of what we're trying to,
sure,
to
focus
do here.
Right.
Right. But these kids are given a lot, and they are standing all over the place. They're not necessarily standing with people who are singing the same parts.
Absolutely.
And they're listening for that, but they're also remembering their dance moves and what comes next and sequences and learning to anticipate. That is maybe... I mean, all musicians need to learn that. We need to be thinking about the measures ahead while we're singing.
So you have to anticipate
currently.
And be completely present in the moment. It's a weird kind of combination of things you have to. And I think musically, yes, but even more so when you're on the stage acting.
Synapses are connecting,
flying. And what a cast. I know Kyra and Isaac, the leads for this, and I mean, the talent.
They're talented, and they're beautiful inside and out.
Oh, they are.
Kids.
They
youth.
Are.
And all these children,
too, so yes.
Yeah. I mean, this group is engaged. They're energetic. They're grateful to be there.
Yes.
They're appreciative. They'll say thank you, you know, nice. On their way out the door.
They're generous to each other, too.
Choir people are like that. Too. They're just so generous. They're so kind. I often get notes after a tour. You know, we met your choir at the Wendy's, and they let us through in the line, and they were holding the doors, and they were just so kind. And they were, you know, these kinds of things. They have a graciousness about it. I think a music community can help with that.
I don't think that there's anything that's more powerful in developing a personality that is generous of heart than being a part of the arts. I think
it's
just particularly the collaborative or the group arts. I mean, certainly there's benefits to all of it, but the kind of trust that you have to build as children, or as adults too, but if you're doing it as kids, to learn that kind of trust that you have when you're so vulnerable
right.
in singing
right.
and dancing
yeah,
and acting.
I agree.
I think it's just good for anybody to be involved with it, actually. I would love to go to prisons and put on plays because I think it teaches you empathy. I mean, it's just on and on and on. So that's my soapbox.
Right.
Completely.
Yeah.
So it's our quote section. Now I'm talking, going on and on here. So let's talk about the quote. So the quote I picked out today is a Plato quote. And he said, "I would teach children music, physics, and philosophy. But most importantly, music, for the patterns in music and all the arts are the keys to learning." So we were just kind of talking about the importance of music, right?
Right.
And
yeah.
I didn't mean to. That was a great segue. Hi, honey. My daughter, my child
aww.
Just walked by.
That was a nice wave.
That was.
I shouldn't press her nose to the window.
Right, though.
Some of my friends.
Walking the dog.
Yeah,
so your thoughts about that. Well, I mean, you know, it's, what do you think?
Oh, of course there are patterns in music. I mean, the obvious, the beats, the rhythm, the sequences, formats, repetition. You know, you think of neuroscience, and it's exciting to think about what is known. And there's an ever-growing body of research that supports the benefits of music making. You know, for children and for youth and adults, we know that it challenges the brains to do so many things simultaneously, to read, to follow the written notes, and text, to interpret, to perform musical phrases, and consider dynamics, and on. And I think it has so much to do with learning to read.
Sure.
And there's more and more evidence about that. You need to have a sense of beat and how do these words flow. I have a good friend who was one of our fabulous colleagues at Northfield Youth Choirs, Ann Kay, who's doing quite a bit of research and trying to close the reading gap in inner city Minneapolis by using music using patterns.
Love
and
that.
She said it's really remarkable how helpful that is. She's
You fire a different part of your brain when you engage the music part of it. So if you sing a line or say a line, your brain is firing differently.
Right.
Or
and
more,
like learning
maybe you'd say.
And like learning beat. Now we're not as active. We're not jumping rope and doing all the kinds of playground folk dance games and things.
Sure.
That's sort of disappearing
right.
to some extent. And that's where we learn a lot of how the body moves to beat and rhythm. And so we need to find that again and have lots and lots of experiences with beat, with rhythm, at every age, in choir, in your music classes,
absolutely.
In creative, fun, game playing, pitch matching.
Oh, sure.
And learning to sing in tune. I think it's so sad to run into adults who said, oh, no, I was told to take an instrument. I have a really rotten voice. I hear it all the time. And that, you know, that's not true.
Right.
Everybody can learn to sing if they're physiologically capable.
And those patterns kind of translate into any other subject, really. There's patterns. And so that can translate the knowledge that you gain through music can be translated to all sorts of different disciplines. And I say also that you learn more than patterns from music. I mean, we were talking about some of the social things that are really, really almost more important to a good life, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's it. Empathy and kindnesses. And we think about the poetry that we select for children to learn. They're going to have these texts in their brains forever.
Right.
And we need to consider that, I think, when selecting music, that we're imprinting text that they'll draw on when they need to, well, all throughout life.
You go back to the first song we played. What a great line to have in your head your whole life, thousands of lives, each one is sacred. I mean, boy, that would solve a lot of our problems in this world if we all thought that, you know, had that on our brains.
Right.
And so let's just segue right into the next song called Joy. And so why don't you just set this up just like you did with the other one, why you chose it and what choir is you're conducting for this and whatever you want
sure.
like to tell us about it.
Joy is written by composer Jocelyn Hagen. She was a student at St. Olaf. She actually worked with the Northfield Youth Choirs with our high school at the time group. And she set this exciting Sarah Teasdale poem to music. It's performed by a girls' group, Anima, and it was recorded for our 25th anniversary, and it's at the spring concert in Bow Chapel. Mary
nice.
Carpenter Davis is on piano, Sonia Wurmacher, a local violinist, and she was also a student at St. Olaf at the time,
nice.
Is playing on the violin. So this music is full of energy. It has an exciting text. It's so much like the girls that performed it to me. It is, I am wild. I will sing to the trees. I will sing to the stars in the sky.
Talk about joy. So,
exactly. Right.
So were there challenges? There's a little dissonance in some of the,
there's
chords
some crazy
here,
sounds.
Yeah.
Some fun sounds.
Yes, but
to listen to. The
maybe.
Sounds that produce those overtones we were talking about
yes.
earlier, where there are moments and you get a little shiver down your
exactly.
spine.
Exactly. But not exactly easy to sing. Because you want to go to the non-dissonance, the resolved chords
that's
in
right.
your head. And so
yeah.
you have these kids having to do that.
Right. And you know, once they get they understand triads and diminished, augmented, and they have, you know, just warm up fun with those kinds of things, it might be harder for me than it is for them.
Oh, sure.
You know, I really feel like I have to be on my game and ready to teach because the kids are they're so capable. I don't know what their limits are, really.
Oh, that's so wonderful.
I mean, I sometimes feel I'm their limit. You know, what all can you do? Well, how about this? Well, how about this? You know, it's amazing.
We don't give
and inspiring.
Them
I'm inspired
oh,
by
yes.
them.
Yeah.
Right.
It's such a blessing to work with them.
And that's a great lead into this song. And Liz Shepley is here live with me in the KYMN studio today. And it's time to listen to Joy, a song she conducted and is sung by the Northfield Youth Choir's group called Anime.
Anima.
I thought I'd get it right. All right. There you go, Wendy. This is Musician Talk, and I'm your host, Pauline Jennings. My guest today is conductor, educator, artistic director, Liz Shepley. You just heard a Jocelyn Hagen piece she conducted called Joy, and it was sung by the Northfield Youth Choir's group Anima in 2012. Just beautiful that the dissonance, like we talked about, it creates so much emotion and tension, so that then you have those joyful releases, and with all the dynamics, it's very joyful. And then you have again with the violin, the melancholy, and then out of that, the joy and the release. And I love that the tension and release. I mean, I guess that's what makes music so exciting.
Awesome.
Really, really great.
Thank you.
We are getting to the end here, Liz, and I want to hear about your best gig, worst gig.
Well, any chance to sing while traveling is really a fantastic thing, and I've done that with both choir school and Northfield Youth Choirs, singing throughout Norway at, you make lasting friendships.
Yes.
Those are fabulous gigs. I love the way that traveling brings a group together. It's transformative. in so many different ways. Worst gig? Well,
let's hear it.
I've worked with, I don't know, thousands of kids and itty bitties all the way up. But I do, you know, I can't say I have a real rotten gig. I never have, but I remember a time when there was a chorister sitting next to me in church, and there was a typo, as there often are in a church bulletin, uh-huh. and it said, "Draw nigh to us, oh dog." And she pointed it out, and I got the giggles.
Oh, no.
I could not stop. As a little girl, I'd get the giggles. Did you ever?
Oh, yeah.
And it was time for us to sing, and I conducted the entire anthem laughing with my shoulders shaking, and the children all started to laugh,
sure.
too. I mean, they were just trying to get through the song, and they, you know, people commented on how particularly joyful they were that morning. So
I love that as a worst gig. My worst gig is because I was laughing.
Oh, that's so pretty ridiculous.
And that you don't have a long list of them working with kids. You'd think that there would be all sorts of logistical problems.
Yeah. Well,
wow.
There's always a little one that's getting sick, you know,
oh, sure.
during the piece
right.
and getting carried off by a parent
just
sitting
kind of
close by.
Pro forma, it seems like sometimes.
Yeah, there's a book there of all kinds of funny stories.
Understood. Well, I want to let people know that Newsies Junior is January 6th and 7th. Those are Fridays and Saturday nights, the 12th, 13th, the 6th and 7th, and then the Thursday night, the 12th, and Friday and Saturday. Again, I'm not saying this very well. Let's start that over. Newsies Junior, January 6th and 7th. That's a Friday and Saturday. January 12th, 13th, 14th, Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Yes.
And that's at 7, not 7:30. And also the Sundays, the 8th and the 15th at 2 o'clock. Tickets are available at northfieldartsguild.org. And I cannot, I guess, encourage people enough to go get your tickets, because this group of kids is unbelievably talented, with a wonderful director and mm-hmm. musical director. Rachel is the director, Rachel
right.
Hyder, and Liz is the musical director. And you mentioned another name.
And Jana Hirsch is a choreographer.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Hello.
And we love, of course. The three of us have worked, I don't know, countless times with children.
Together.
And together as a team.
Yep. Yeah.
I won't speak for them. I just love being with them.
And you've worked with
these
children.
We have so much fun.
Too.
They've come to work in our Encore Summer Program for
nice.
Years at NYC, Northfield Youth Choirs. And we've done musicals and Purple Doors. And I hope we have more in our future.
So you not only have all this talent, but you have a group of kids that have worked with this group of adults that have worked together. And that also brings its own magic, right? So I am excited to go.
Thing.
I have tickets for the first weekend, and I'm really, really excited to see all this talent on stage.
Well, glad you're coming, Pauline.
I am too. Well, Liz, thank you so much for joining me.
You're welcome. Thank
very
you.
Very early on a New Year's Day.
Kind
of not very nice of me to invite somebody. You were up late.
It's a fabulous way to begin the new year.
Good, and
fabulous.
Now you can go home and take a nap.
Yeah, it's been really fun to look back and remember these things and those people that so significantly influenced my life. I'm so grateful.
Oh, well, I'm so glad that you found joy in that, because it is fun to look back, and you don't often get a chance to just take a rest. So I encourage all of you out there, take a step back. Look at your own story. Look at your own musical journey, if it's not musical, business, however, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Think back to your own journey and how that all started.
Right.
But thanks
right.
for all the wonderful right. things you do and the wonderful things that you have said today, Liz.
Thank
really
you.
Really appreciate that. Here we go. Many thanks to Liz for joining me today to share her journey with us and to give us some insight into her musical work with kids. Thanks also to Wendy Nordquist, and so many thanks to you, the listeners of Musician Talk on the One, KYMN. Have a joyous New Year's Day.